Hey everyone, and welcome to a special episode of The Scrub Life. My name is Chris Blevins, and I am so excited for this kind of bonus episode. Something really cool happened today. AST had a free webinar that you could register for, and the title of it was AST's Legislative Efforts. And it was so informative. It was very well attended. And headed by Josephine Colacci. She is the Director of Government Affairs for AST. Ms. Colacci is an attorney, and Joe did such a great job of kind of getting us to up to speed, if you will, about what AST is doing, both from a legislative perspective in the future, and then, of course, talking about some of those heated states that we've already experienced. That being said, if you haven't listened to my episode in regards to the Oregon bill, please take your time and go on back and listen to that, because I think that having that background knowledge will really help you as you listen to this episode. But on another note, guys, I really have a special guest with me today for this episode, and I am so grateful to be able to introduce you to Stephanie Austin. You'll hear a little bit about her later, but you know, guys, if you ever heard someone say that if you're the smartest person in the room, then you're in the wrong room. And I am happy to tell you that I am exactly in the room I'm supposed to be, especially when I'm surrounded by Stephanie Austin. Stephanie has agreed to be more involved in our podcast, and so you'll hear from her more often. But today is the introduction to who is someone who is incredibly important, not just to my life and the life of this podcast, but to our field as surgical technologists. So without further ado, here we go. It's our bonus episode, AST's Legislative Efforts. Hey, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Scrub Life podcast. My name is Chris Blevins, and I'm so excited because I have a special guest right next to me, and I'm so excited that she's a part of this today. I want to introduce to you all the amazing Stephanie Austin, soon to be Dr. Stephanie Austin. Stephanie is the Vice President of the Tennessee AST State Assembly. She is also the Program Director for Walter State Community College, and resides right here in the great old state of Tennessee. Happens to be a huge Vols fan. I won't say it this time, but she's amazing. So Stephanie, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'd also like to say that Chris is the newest member of the Tennessee AST Board of Directors.
Oh, yes.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you for wrangling me into that.
You're very welcome.
Well, so we said today is a special episode. It's kind of a bonus because this morning, AST provided a free webinar specifically on their legislative efforts that are happening in 2022. Because as you all may know, if you listen to previous episodes, there's a lot going on, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot. So we listened to the webinar, we attended it today. And then for those of you who weren't maybe able to do so, we wanted to kind of give you a summary of what was spoken about today. And then also, of course, because it's my podcast, we're going to give you the commentary and kind of our food for thought, if you will, about the things that that were brought up to include the chat and a very robust, that's a good word today.
Right? Very good.
Very good word.
Very good.
Robust Q&A session. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. So today, Wanda Folsom from AST's Education Department introduced the guest speaker. You all may have heard her name, Josephine Colacci. She is an attorney. Specifically, she's the Director of Government Affairs for AST. Joe is just a really important person with AST. She has done a lot for you all as members, specifically in regards to legislative actions and that requirement for a practicing surgical technologist to be credentialed as CSTs. And so What she started off today with was the impact of COVID on legislative efforts. Then she specifically talked about the certification efforts for 2022 and specifically which states they are actively pursuing legislative bills, if you will. Then she also spoke about the federal legislation that is currently, I don't know, what would you say, in limbo?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. And then, of course, lastly, something that will happen specifically during the Surge Tech Week in September. Ms. Kalachi referred to those as legislative action alerts. So we will kind of go over all of that today and then give you our what for, right? So, Stephanie, what do you say? I think we should start with the current state statuses and, you know, who is requiring the CST and who's not. So we'll start with there.
Definitely, yes.
All right. So, and you can all find this information specifically on AST's website. And then to help you all out, we also have put it on the episode page for our podcast webpage. So we always put a links for specific episode information. You can find that on the scrublifepodcast.wordpress.com. And so, hey, Stephanie, I'm going to let you lead with this. So as of right now, so as of the beginning or end of 2021, why don't we tell them which states in the U.S. require certification as a CST?
So the following states require certification and education as surgical technologists. Indiana, which theirs was implemented in 2009. Massachusetts was in 2012. Nevada was in 2017. New Jersey was in 2011. New York in 2015. Oregon, which is going to be a hot topic later, was in 2016.
Lord, yeah.
Yes. South Carolina in 2008, Tennessee in 2006, Texas in 2009, and Idaho was in 1991.
Yeah. And Idaho's a little special. So Idaho actually has an administrative rule. And so they refer to Texas operating room technicians, and those ORTs have to either be a graduate from a KHEP accredited program or satisfy the NBSTSA requirements for the CST certification. So, and then we have another group of states that certification is not required, but definitely right. You have to register, right?
Yeah, they have to register with the state.
And which ones are those?
Colorado required register. The CST is not required, but they do have registration. And that started in 2016. North Dakota was in 2011. And then Washington was in 2010. The CST is not required for registration in the state of Washington.
Oh, got it. And then we have a couple of stragglers out there. So Arkansas, Illinois, and Virginia have an optional registration. Is that correct?
Yes. But they to do the registration, to be registered within the state of Arkansas, Illinois, and Virginia, you must be a CST to be eligible for that registration.
Got it. Okay. So that was good to know. We have had some, some progress on that. I don't know. My takeaway from that is that that's just too few states, right?
Definitely. We definitely need to move forward and try to get more states to require certification.
I agree. And Ms. Kalachi actually spoke specifically to those efforts and how COVID, which, I mean, let's face it right now, COVID has affected everyone in every part of their life, I feel like.
Yes.
And so the same has been true with the legislative efforts for AST, because what she basically said was that COVID has slowed down how often these legislative bodies have been able to meet, and even especially whether they even met in person.
Right.
Whether they met virtually. And then I thought it was an interesting note that she said that some state legislations only meet part-time.
Yes. I wasn't aware of that.
No, me either. Right. How do you run a dadgum state?
How do you run a state?
Part-time.
Only meet
right
once or twice a year.
I don't understand. I want that job.
I know, right?
I want half a year off. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. Let me get back to it. So COVID, yes, it has slowed down some of the progress, but also it helped AST kind of refocus which states they wanted to actually put forth effort into I guess actively pursuing legislation to have not just the CST, but also making sure that the requirement is that practicing CSTs are graduates from accredited educative programs. So I think what we learned is that the combination of both education and certification is really important, especially specifically to the trademarked, which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
It's CST, or the Certified Surgical Technologist credential, is trademarked by AST.
Right. So, and some of our listeners may not be as educated on education as others. And so an accredited program is one that meets the minimum requirements that is set forth by our accrediting bodies, which is the ARC is the liaison between the schools and KHEP. Mm-hmm. And so the schools have to meet that minimum standard to be eligible to receive that accreditation. Yeah. And so that means that you're going to, at minimum, receive the minimum standard for, to be a surgical technologist at those schools.
Yeah. And that standard is defined very clearly by our core curriculum, which just got updated. And we're actually going to have a future episode specifically on what the changes were and how that process worked. So stay tuned for that as well. So let's talk about the current states that legislation is being actively pursued. I believe the first one she said was Florida.
Yes.
And it was pretty interesting because it is both to require education from an accredited program and certification, but it's a combination bill. So
right.
It's between AST and the CST. And then, of course, what is ISHM now? ISHM, which is over the body for sterile processing, right?
Yeah, it's the Healthcare Sterile Processing Association.
That's right, HESPA. Yeah.
They changed their name recently.
They sure did. Yep, I didn't know that until today. So that was pretty neat. Now, Florida, that combination bill that will require certification for both sterile processors and surgical technologists, no hearing will actually occur until 2023. But it's important to know that, they are actively seeking out legislation.
And some of the questions that were brought about from that were, why did they combine those two bills? And the reason is because they're so closely related. Mm-hmm. And as, all of us as surgical techs know, we work hand in hand with sterile processing. So when they looked at those two bills, they were so closely related, they decided to combine them.
Right. And thank God, because our sterile processors, we can't do our job without them.
Exactly.
So shout out to all you people in SPD. We love you. And you aren't recognized nearly enough, just like your counterparts there in the operating room. So
very true.
So the next state that we're going to mention is North Carolina. And North Carolina, it too is that combo bill between education requirement and certification. Now it passed the House, but they're waiting on the Senate, right?
Yes.
And the Senate's on break until when was that?
Yeah, the Senate is on break until, well, actually all of the executive committees are on break until May of 2022.
That's a nice break.
That's a nice break. Right? Yeah. We could all go on vacation.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong job.
We're in the wrong job.
Yeah. Wrong profession. Right.
We should have been politicians.
We should have. I don't know.
I'll vote for you.
Don't want to be a politician.
There we go. All right. So the third state that was mentioned is Virginia. And so it's pretty cool. We want to first give you a little bit of backstory on Virginia. So legislation was passed to require graduation from an accredited program and the CST certification back in 2021. So what they're hearing in 2022 is actually just an amendment of that. And it has to do with the grandfather clause, if you will, within that amendment. I think that came about from the sponsor. Wasn't that true?
Yes. Yes. They had a school that I'm not 100% sure that they were accredited yet, and they wanted those students to be able to be employed. So the sponsor of the bill actually asked to move the date for grandfathering to December 31st of 2022 to allow those students time to graduate and work in the field to be able to, you know, continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without having to go back for more schooling and...
Yeah. And what we learned today was the process is once legislation has been written and is presented, it's presented in the form of a bill. Once that bill has passed the House, it goes to the Senate. Once the Senate approves it, then it goes to the state's governor, where in many cases they have a certain time frame that they have to then either sign the bill into law or not. Once it becomes law, then it's referred to as a statute. And then that statute, once it goes into play, there are certain what they call rulemaking clauses that occur afterwards. And so I kind of feel like that's the basically the meat and potatoes, the details, if you will, right, of the bill. And so Virginia, right now, they're currently in that rulemaking process. And AST is involved at this point because it has to do with a list of registration fees that the state wants CSTs to have to pay. Now, there are other healthcare workers in the state of Virginia that they already have to pay registration fees. And so this is just to align CSTs with that fee structure. But AST has, obviously, they've got, you know, they have kind of a an opinion about that because we already pay dues on a national level. And since our certification is national, I think AST is fighting really hard to make sure that we don't have to pay the state fees.
I thought it was interesting, though, that the other professions that we were aligning with in Virginia were physicians.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to pay a fee at the same rate as a physician does?
No.
Only if they're going to cut me a check?
Exactly. Yes.
The rate of the physician. Yeah.
I work for you privately now, so you're going to pay for this.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. We all know that.
Absolutely. So, so Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, and then the last, but definitely not least, state that was referred to by Joe Colacci is Oregon. Now, here's a caveat. We're going to, if you don't know about the Oregon bill, you don't know about the hot mess and the misconceptions that are the state of Oregon, please take a listen to a previous episode that we did specifically on the Oregon bill here at the Scrub Life podcast. I was able to interview several of the individuals who testified to the legislators about that bill, and it'll give you a lot of the detail and background information. We don't want to get too far in the weeds in this particular episode, but just to kind of give you a summation, 2015 legislation was passed that became effective in 2017, and it too required graduation from an accredited program and then certification. And back in 2017, there were five programs in Oregon.
Yes.
Only five.
And now there's only...
And now there's, yeah.
Three.
Only three.
Now there's only three. That's interesting and something that I feel like we need to look into and figure out why. Where did those two programs go?
Absolutely. It's one of you out there in La La Land. Y'all know what happened. And so, yeah, we are two people very curious about where in the world those two programs went. Now there is a grandfather.
We
have grandfathers.
I didn't know we had grandfathers.
Special endocrinologist. Okay. There just for your grandfather. All right. So we've got a grandfather clause. So anyone that practiced in at least two out of the 3 years prior to 2017, when the bill came into effect, they were automatically grandfathered in and able to practice. So a couple of things have happened, right? So in 2021, legislation was brought forth in order to amend the surge tech statute that was in place. AST hired a lobbyist within 48 hours of being alerted that there was, you know, this legislation to have an alternate pathway outside of an accredited program, which is super scary, right?
Yes,
definitely. Yeah. And they were able to get it killed. So AST testified to the legislative body, and they were able to defeat that back in 2021. But unfortunately, some other players came on board, and in 2022 they tried again. And so what was it? It was the Hospital Association.
Yes.
And then the Ambulatory Surgery Centers.
Right.
Yeah.
There were a couple of organizations like that that got involved with this group of individuals who wanted to transition from academics to an apprenticeship as a pathway to become a surgical technologist. And you know, we all know the history of surgical technology and where we came from, and we don't want to go backwards. Why would we want to go backwards?
Yeah. And the argument, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about Q&A here after we give you a really good summary of what the webinar was about. But the bill that was killed in 2021, unfortunately, was not defeated in 2022. And so, you know, the argument of not enough programs and there being a shortage of surge techs, well, Stephanie and I will get on our soapbox about that in the second half of our episode today. But it is currently approved by the House, approved by the Senate, and now waiting signature of the Oregon governor, who we are desperately hoping will listen to the podcast, and listen to the testimony, and maybe just not sign it.
Yeah, and that has not made it to his desk yet, because once it makes it to his desk, he has 7 days to rule on it, you know, for or against. So, you know, whenever it finally makes it to his desk, we're hoping that he vetoes this and you know, has a little common sense where nobody else has, apparently.
Yeah, and we'll continue down that pathway here in a minute. So once there was an update given by Ms. Kalachi in regards to the current states that legislation is being sought after, then she went on to talk about a current federal legislative act that is referred to as H.R. 3020. And I believe the official name is the Coronavirus Frontline Workers Fair Pay Act. And I was concerned about some of my podcast titles.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
So what it is, what the act is, I guess, suggesting, right? Or is that hazard pay be paid to surgical technologists and surgical assistants for the years of 2020 through 2021. And it's basically an aggregate amount for the hours that were worked in what they consider a high-risk healthcare services. And this isn't money from the hospital, right, Stephanie?
No.
Where is it coming from?
This is money coming from the federal government. They're going to be broke. Wait, they're already broke.
They're already.
Yeah. So they, this is money that would come from the federal government. So it would not, you know, inhibit the budgets of any of the local hospitals.
Yeah. So AST met with the bill sponsor. It doesn't look like it's moving forward. What they think is going to happen is there may be some edits to the verbiage in the act. And so maybe something amended might go forward in the future, but basically it's kind of stuck in the water at the moment. And then, of course, lastly, what we heard about, which was, I think, just incredibly illustrative of what you and I think is a larger problem in our career field, right? But during National Surgical Technology Week, Joe Kalachi actually sends out through AST what she calls legislation action alerts. And these are an email that we really want all of you, whether you're in education, whether you are behind the Mayo or some combination of both, please, before National Surgical Technology Week, be on the lookout for these emails. These emails are basically templates sent to us in order for us to move them forward to our legislators within our local and state levels.
And what AST does is when they send these out, they already have them, shall you say, addressed.
Yeah,
to the leaders, pre-populated to your local leaders, your state leaders. And all you have to do is go through the email, follow the directions, and send them forward.
Absolutely. And yes. National Surgical Technology Week for 2022 is September 18th through 24th. And these emails just really are, once again, showing the population, showing the general public who we are, why we are important, and why supporting us as we promote our profession and while we promote proper education
yes.
and certification of those people who are working on your family members, your friends in the operating room, why all of those things are important. And she had some very interesting statistics between the legislative action alerts and the activity for those sent to sterile processing techs and for those emails that were sent to surgical technology techs. It was very telling. So that's kind of the summation of what we heard in our webinar today. I will say it is incredibly, it was well attended. People asked some really great questions.
They did.
The chat was active.
Yes.
We'll say that.
And one thing before you move too much further.
Sure.
To ensure that you receive those legislative updates, make sure that you have added the AST to your member group on your email so that it's not sent to your junk or spam pile. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And most emails from AST come from MemServe. So it's MemServ
yes.
at AST.org. So yeah, definitely add that as a contact and make sure that your information is current to include your email and your mailing address with AST for all of you out there who are members. So Stephanie and I are going to take a little break. We gave that summary of what we heard. And then when we come back, we kind of just want to dig into the Q&A, the chat, and then give our two cents as to maybe why we're experiencing some of the things legislatively that we're experiencing. So give us a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we're back. So we ended with just kind of a summation of all of the topics that were mentioned during the webinar. The webinar, again, was AST's legislative efforts updates for 2022. And so really we want to get into kind of the Q&A portion for those of you who missed it. Also, there was a very active chat. We've already mentioned that.
Yes.
So this is the commentary portion, everyone. So this is specifically Chris Blevin's opinions and those of the great Stephanie Austin, do not reflect on any individual at ARC, AST, NBSTSA, or any of the hot ass mess of legislators that are out there in some of those states. So we're going to bring
and
that
there's
up.
That.
Yes, and there's that, right? The first thing that was asked was about the process for AST and their legislative efforts. And so I learned a lot, so I thought I'd share it with you. A lot goes into deciding which state AST actively pursues legislation in. One is obviously the impact of COVID. Like, are the legislators even meeting, right? Also, the likelihood of having a lobbyist and a sponsor for the bill.
I did find it interesting that Joe mentioned that they do not like to get involved if they can't be face-to-face.
Yeah.
She didn't want to get involved in any of them if the legislators were not meeting in a public forum, in a public, face-to-face format. She didn't want to be involved online. per se.
Well, and you know, I think there's a lot to say for that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially both of us are educators. And so there is a difference in the impact you can make and the passion that you can, I guess, display when you're in front of someone.
Yes.
You miss out on the body language. And
unless you're one superhero that spoke.
Oh, yes.
At the Oregon.
I'll allow you yes. to give her a huge heads shout out.
Yeah, here. I'm going to give a big shout out to Bonnie Maud in Oregon for her outstanding, what do you call it? What did they call it?
Well, I wouldn't say performance.
She was speaking from the heart. And
testimony.
It was testimony. Her testimony that she spoke via Zoom to the Oregon legislators. It was fantastic. I'm glad nobody could hear me at the time because it was like I was at a rock concert or something because, I mean, she was hitting every bullet point that needed to be hit. And it was fantastic.
Absolutely.
It was definitely the mic drop of the whole session.
It totally was.
It was.
Yeah. So someone else asked about, you know, how the budget, who pays for it? And typically, AST National covers half of the bill, if you will. And then that particular state's AST State Assembly will cover the other half.
And that's going to segue into one of the questions that I get repeatedly.
Oh, yes.
Not only on these Zoom meetings, but also in the public forums that I attend with the Tennessee State Assembly and other things. And it's, what has AST done for me?
Oh, man, I'm so sick of that
question. I am so sick of that, you know, because people just want to bash AST, that they want to charge me, quote unquote, all of this money, but they don't do anything for me. Half of all of the cost that it takes to hire a lobbyist comes from nationals.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of you know it, but there is a portion of your AST fees that go directly back to your state assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, what has my state assembly done for me? Well, your state assembly offers you opportunities to be able to get your continuing education credits. Most importantly, those advanced credits that are now required. And so you are able to come in person and hear doctors or other people speak, you know, Chris, she's famous. Uh-huh. Anyway, come to hear other people speak to get those credits, your continuing education credits. And another comment that was made in the chat was also, well, why can't we go back to the 4-year turnaround? You know, it doesn't cost us any more.
That's true.
For a 2 or 4-year turnaround. The biggest thing about the 2 and 4-year turnaround is that it keeps us engaged more in a 2-year format than it does in a 4. Because a lot of people will wait to the last minute to do their continuing education credits. And you are not getting the education that you need, the continuing education you need, if you wait for 3.5 years.
Right.
And then try to do it all in 3 months.
And let's be honest, the point isn't, the true point is not just keeping your certification. It is keeping up your standard of care. It's keeping up your scope of practice. And think about how much has changed in medicine in a 4-year period.
Oh, yeah.
Technology has changed. The equipment has changed. Our procedural approaches, guys, robots are becoming the standard procedure approach, if you will.
Yeah. When I first got into search tech, there were no robots.
No, we cut them all open.
Yes. Everybody was cut open. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful. But yes, now
for us, not for the patient, but it was wonderful for us.
But that's the whole point is that we to be masters of our craft, to be the leaders and experts in our very, very specialized field, we have to maintain our education. That education I got 20 years ago is not going to cut it for the things that we do and the way that we care for our patients now. So regardless of the money, regardless of the keeping your credential, the whole point is, how capable are you of taking care of your patients and using the equipment and the and advocating, and not only that, but anticipation of your surgeon. And if you don't know that procedure as well as he or she does, those skills are definitely diminished. So that is why, ladies and gentlemen, you are on a 2-year cycle. and not this leads, just paying your dadgum dues.
Right. And this leads to the respect that everybody says that they don't get. Uh-huh. You know, if we get to where we go into these brand new procedures and we already can anticipate the next step in those brand new procedures,
yeah,
surgeons are going to start taking notice. And how do you learn about those brand new procedures? You go to workshops. Yeah. You go to continuing education classes. You go to your state assemblies.
No.
A national conference.
Absolutely. Yes. All of those things. So to kind of just complete the cycle of how does AST decide about legislation, someone asked, hey, can you tell us about where you're going to be in the future? And I really loved Ms. Kalachi's answer. She said no. I love saying no. Yes. I don't do it often enough. But the reason being is because she doesn't want to give the opponents of, you know, future legislation a heads up. So they are pretty close knit. They keep it close to the heart about places that, you know, may be potentials for a new bill in the future. If you are interested in being a part of that process, if you are interested in your state actively pursuing certification and education requirements, you're asked to contact her correctly. Yes, obviously, duh, right? But contact her personally. Our webpage, thescrublifepodcast.wordpress.com, has Ms. Kalachi's email. It's josephine.kalachi@ast.org. But email her directly and she can help you start that process for sure. And then now also let's start to talk a little bit. I think we've covered Florida and North Carolina and Virginia pretty well. But obviously the hot topic is Oregon because it sets a precedent, right?
Not a good one.
Not a good one, no. Right. And as you, if you were able to attend that hearing, it is recorded. You can access it from our webpage as well. But Oregon has just set this alternative pathway for educating surgical technologists. And it includes on-the-job training, which, you know, I think you and I have said this in private already, but good grief. Do you want to be the first patient who's had that, you know, on-the-job training for someone who has not gone through the extensive lab and didactic and theoretical educational components? They don't know the why. No. They just know that I'm supposed to do X, Y, and Z before I'm supposed to do 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
They don't understand the why. Therefore, how are they going to critically think through when you get in those sticky situations?
There's no critical thinking to that.
There's no critical thinking.
No,
to that.
It's just,
preach, Ms. Alston.
Quote unquote, it's a job to them.
Absolutely.
It's a way to make money.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but when I got into this profession, I've got into this profession to make a difference.
Yeah.
To change somebody's life. Mm-hmm. You can't do that if you go in and you know steps A, B, and C mm-hmm. come before 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. And, you know, there has to be some standard. There has to be guidance. And it can't be something that they can just throw somebody into and say, here, this is what you're going to do today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be on the table.
No. And as we spoke about the first half of this episode, you know, once a bill is signed into law by the governor and becomes a statute, then the rulemaking process starts. That is where this apprenticeship is going to be literally created, because right now there is no, there aren't any guidelines. So we are very curious to see how the body that handles apprenticeships for Oregon right now, it'll be very interesting to see how they create a surgical technology program, if you will, because all of the apprenticeship programs in the state of Oregon, and I'll try not to get too bad in the weeds here, they had to do with HVAC and plumbing and
journeyman.
Yes. So, yes. Which, trust me, if my electricity goes out, do I need those people? Absolutely. But I don't feel like.
Did you hear healthcare in there
no,
at all?
No.
But wait, if they think that they can throw us uh-huh. as surgical technologists, certified surgical technologists,
right,
into a apprenticeship program, Hey, let's throw the RNs in there too.
What? We don't do that.
But why not?
Well, because we don't.
But right? It's all the same, right?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Is it not?
Well, let's go down that pathway then, Ms. Austin. Yes, we're lighting fires tonight, y'all. And the reason being is because the QA and the chat got a little heated, but rightfully so.
It did.
Because guess what? Let's be honest. In the state of Oregon, there is a shortage of surgical technologists that are, now let me say this, willing to work in the hospital systems and the ambulatory surgical centers in the state of Oregon. Not that we don't have any, because what did you say, 1,300?
I believe the number was over 1,300 that are registered with AST. Right. I'd have to go back and check the numbers. I apologize. I haven't done that already.
But here's the problem.
Yes.
Is that they're traveling.
Why?
Because nobody pays you what you're worth.
Nobody pays you what you're worth.
That's the problem exactly. Right there. Yes. Do we have a shortage of surgical technology programs in the state of Oregon? You bet. That is a lot of pressure for those three programs. By the way, who are led by phenomenal people who are doing a damn good job. There are also phenomenal programs in the surrounding states that border Oregon.
Right.
So there are opportunities there, but the problem here isn't slapping a Band-Aid on it by creating an alternative pathway. The problem, and that definitely needs a solution, is the fact that we are not paying those CSTs to do the job.
And incorporating an apprenticeship is not going to help increase the pay for anybody.
No. Yeah, it's going to. And what's amazing to me is that it's going to take money invested in order to create these apprenticeship programs.
Yes.
From scratch.
Yes.
And that money could then have gone and been better used to invest in those veteran CSTs who have the experience and the knowledge and the passion.
Or take that money and build an accredited surgical technology program.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. That would meet the standards. That would graduate CSTs with an associate degree.
Who could critically think.
Who can critically think and do the job that we as surgical technologists are required to do.
Yes.
Yes.
Preach. Preach. Yes. So let's move on from Oregon, because I feel like we have
we've just stomped that one to death.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next kind of topic, if you will, was the federal legislation, that HR 3020. Let's be real, Miss Austin, do you think that's going to pass?
That's not going to pass. Mm-mm. Do you, Miss Blevins, think that's going to pass?
I don't think that's going to pass.
I don't think that's going to pass.
Enough said on that topic.
I think that's enough.
Let's move on.
I think that everybody out there in a virtual world would agree with us that that's not going to pass. Yeah.
If your money is on the federal government to solve anything,
it's not going to happen.
Bless your heart.
Yes. That's a Southern thing.
That is a Southern thing.
It is.
All right. So the next one then is that legislative action alert. And I really wanted to speak about this because the slideshow that Ms. Kalachi presented, by the way, everybody, AST has already said that this entire webinar will be shared. Give them some time to process it, but it will be shared along with the slides. We by no means own these slides, so therefore we're not going to share them with you on this podcast or on our webpage. But I do want to definitely go into some interesting numbers because we really feel like it is it shows what Stephanie and I feel is the bigger problem in our profession.
Right. Right? And once Ms. Kalachi releases those, we can release the link
to
the podcast then. We can release that onto the website.
So as we said, during National Surgical Technology Week and during National Sterile Processing Week, a legislative action alert is sent out by the HSPA, and then of course by AST. And what was interesting is that for the surge techs, 41,890 members received the email, which is a little about 3,000 more than those who are members of the Sterile Processing Association. The members that opened the email, y'all, they track everything nowadays, right? Yes. Like Big Brother's always watching.
Oh, yes.
What is interesting is, guys, out of the CSTs that received the email, only 2.6% even opened the damn thing. And this is incredibly, indicative of what the problem is, because the sterile processors, 29%, which is still a low number.
It is.
But 29% of the sterile processors actually took the time to open the email.
That's not 2.6.
That's not 2.6.
That's not 2.6.
Holy crap. Right? Then here we go. So then the members who actually clicked through the email, like not only did you open it, but then you clicked through with it, only 0.5% of CSTs actually read the damn thing after they opened it. 3% of sterile processors actually did the same thing. We open it and we can't even scroll through. What is wrong here? Then the legislative action actually asks you, as we've already mentioned.
Yes.
Go through this template that we've already created for you. Hey, guess what? We even auto-populated the representatives that you should send it to. All we're asking you to do is read it, click the button, and send it to them, right? Like, very bare minimum effort here. 2% of sterile processors actually went through and did that. 0.3% of surgical technologists did it.
0.3. Less than half of 1%.
God bless, right? So then here's the cool thing, though, is that I guess the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, even though only 2% of sterile processors click the button, less than or a little over 0.3 of CSTs click the button, 2,413 elected officials were reached through the sterile processing. 410 elected officials were reached by CSTs. And the number of messages sent, right? The number of messages sent per elected official, 6,700 sterile processors or in regards to sterile processing, only 675 for surgical technologists.
So, Ms. Blevins, do you know what this tells me?
What does this tell you, Ms. Austin?
We do not need to be asking what AST or our state assemblies are doing for us.
True.
We need to ask what we're doing for our own profession.
Amen.
Because this is just
blinded
by the light here, right, that we are not doing our part.
And sterile processors are further in the process, or later in the process than we are. Sterile processing is just now fighting for certification in their field,
which is desperately
needed, right? We certified surgical technologists are fighting for certification since before when? Even the nurses.
Yes. It started, if you look back at all the allied health professions, and I did a little research on this. If you look back at all of the allied health professions, surgical technology was one of the first that had a certification exam. That was in 1972. I don't know. Sometime in the 70s. Sometime whenever I was born. We were one of the first. And that's before OTA. That's before PTA.
Respiratory.
And respiratory. But yeah. Where are we now? There are some areas of respiratory assistance, physical therapy assistance, mm-hmm. occupational therapy assistance that are going to start requiring bachelor's degrees.
And we're just now.
And we are having to fight to get the associate degree.
Absolutely.
You want more respect in your profession?
Yeah.
You want more pay?
Yeah.
You're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to get the degrees.
But why can't I just sit in the chat in a free webinar and bitch? Won't that work?
Well, you want me to read some of them? Let me read a couple of these, because some of these, and I think this is, this shows a lot of the change in mindset of a lot of surgical technologists over the last few years.
And before we even get to that,
yes.
Let's say that we have to take personal responsibility for our ability to do our job. We have to take personal responsibility for fighting for our wage, fighting for the respect, but we also have to have a bigger picture approach. We also need the public to know who and what we are as surgical technologists. So all of these things are kept in mind. And yes, we're laughing here because there are still some people that are still back in the 70s who are griping and use social media and any, you know, online platform to just constantly say, what are you doing for me lately? But what we are saying here is this legislative action alerts and the lack of involvement show that you can gripe about AST and what they're doing for you lately, because guess what? What are you doing for you lately? That is part of the issue here. So we'll get off of that soapbox, because what we also want to recognize is that there were some amazing people. We're not going to name you specifically because I didn't get your permission to do that. But we want to highlight some of the things that were said in the chat, because there are amazing individuals out there who are forward thinking, who see what the problem is and want to be a part of it. If you recognize the words we're about to say, we are encouraging you, please go get involved. Get involved with your state assembly. Go sign a consent to serve. Get involved with national. There are so many ways to be a part of the active conversations that are happening. And those are the mindsets we need.
And the only way that anything in surgical technology is ever going to change is for this entire profession to come together as a whole.
Just like the nurses.
Like the nurses have. You don't see the nurses out here with this group butting against this group.
Yeah.
You know, they have band together and they get what they want because they stick together. And our profession, you can go on Facebook onto the surgical technology page and see, you know, people come in there asking for encouragement because they're getting ready to start school. And you have people that are in there telling them, oh, well, just go be a nurse. You know, it annoys me. Sorry.
I know. So we need to start. Let's turn the mindset, y'all. Let's be a part of a team. Let's talk about the bigger picture. And Stephanie, I'm going to turn it over to you, because you have in front of you some of the amazing, encouraging, big-minded things that some people said. So go for it.
All right. So the first one that I want to read to you says, I used to be okay with training nurses, but as I have grown as a CST, I see it as a slap in the face. Basically, the hospital is saying they believe that anyone can do a CST's job. I have become an outspoken opponent in my hospital to training apprenticing nurses. A CST brings a specialized training experience to the OR that should be valued. And I'm going to jump on that one real quick, because had a nurse manager in an open forum with all of the OR staff that said that a monkey can do the job of a CST. And when that particular individual came back and was going to have knee replacement, I specialized in orthopedics. we asked which monkey she would like to do that. So, you know, we're not at all bitter.
Oh my God. That's brave or completely incredibly stupid.
It is. So then.
So who else said some amazing things today?
Here's another one. And I'm not going to mention names, as Chris said. We don't have permission to do that, but I am going to use the words. More than anything, we need to stand up to the AORN. They will not support education standards or credentialing requirements unless it specifically states they are in charge of us.
Oh, bless them.
Mm-hmm. Their position statement questions the need for education standards. And I don't think there needs to really be anything said to that one.
No. Let's just move on. Let's say that for another episode.
Let's do.
Yes.
We can do that one in another one.
There we go.
Then we have another one that says, I wish we could bridge together in the OR. Nurses are not given adequate training coming from the floor to transition into the OR. Whereas we as CSTs, we are trained specifically for the OR.
That's true.
They need a program for RNs, and that is absolutely true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I think that would be, you could turn that around even and say that would be as in, you know, you or I walking into the ER or walking into ICU
exactly.
And thinking that after a couple of hours, we could do the job of the RN that's in that area.
Exactly.
That's not the case. We would never be so bold and brazen to think that we could walk into their environment and take over their highly trained job field. So it's very shocking to me and quite confusing that they feel, and not all of them, we work with some amazing nurses.
Yes.
You know that feeling. You walk into the operating room and it's your team and you have that mutual trust and respect and you know how incredible that day is going to go.
Oh, yes.
Not just the fact that it feels good and you know you're going to have a good day, but you also know damn well that that patient is, and the subsequent ones after, are going to be taken care of.
Yes.
Your surgeons are going to be happy.
Yes.
It takes a village. And in fact, I believe that's a good segue to our next chat.
To the next one.
I think I've done
this. And this is the last one, I believe. This is going to be our last one for today.
So the person who said this just spoke from their heart and really hit ours.
The person who said this, please friend me on Facebook because I absolutely love this one.
We'll buy you a beer.
Yes, we like to do that. Mm-hmm. So this one says, personally, I believe it takes a village to make this work. Practicing techs can get involved with their state assembly, can professionally advocate for themselves to their employer. They can help recruit future surgical technologists within their establishments. Educators must recruit effectively so there is a constant supply of thoroughly trained surgical technologists. We are in this together and we will be more effective when we all work together. What a concept.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
And is that not what we specialize in?
It is.
I mean, really.
So we're going to come back here in just a few minutes with our closing thoughts on this. There's a lot coming at you in this episode, but it's all incredibly important. And the more that we are aware of these actions as a whole profession, the better impact we can make. And so guess what? When we come back, that summary, and we're going to talk about what kind of impact we can make and where to go from here. We'll be right back.
All right.
All right. So we're back. Hey, it got heated. It got passionate.
It did.
There's a lot of information today to unpack.
And you know what that tells me?
What?
That there are people out there that are willing to make this change.
There really are.
Yeah. To get on board.
So, you know, I've talked to our national leaders. I'm not going to name names because, once again, I didn't get permission. I'm really bad about that. But, you know, I think that if they had a chance to say anything to the people who say, what has AST done for me lately? One of the things they would say is that there's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into what AST does before it becomes public. And I think that Joe Colacci was incredible at being able to kind of speak through that today really showed us that there are other things that are happening that maybe don't get headline news. And it frustrates me. We're going to end on a positive note, so help me God. But what I want to say is that it kind of seems ironic because we have those people that say, what has AST done for me lately? What has ARC done for me lately? We've heard that even as educators. What's the point of the certifying exam? All of these things. And you know what? There are people out there that are saying the same thing about our profession. They're surgical, they're the ambulatory surgery centers, the hospital associations, so forth and so on, that are saying, what is the big deal about a CST? What has a CST done for me lately? And it's the same thing that our own members of our profession are saying. And what is our response? There is a lot of things behind the scenes that we do that you don't see. There are things that we do when the people who see our patients prior to them being unconscious and drugged, right? There are things that we do in preparation for our surgical procedure that the public never sees. our own patients never see.
And I think that's one of the problems with the profession getting out there and people understanding the importance of what we do.
Yeah.
Is because nobody knows.
Nobody sees
it. Nobody sees it.
I think we should maybe start a podcast.
Hey, that would work.
But the point being is that, guys, we have to open our eyes and see that we are stomping our own foot. We gripe because no one knows the amazing things that we do, but then we turn around and we don't have a comprehension of the amazing things that our own accrediting body and our own associations do for us behind the scenes as well. So maybe stop, get your panties out of a wad and pay attention, and let's see that there are some things that are happening that maybe have not been publicized. We live in this world where if we don't have immediate gratification,
yes,
I don't think we understand that there are things going on.
And the element of surprise changes everything sometimes.
It truly does.
You can't always put it all out there for everybody.
So let's talk about it. There are incredible people that are doing the hard work. All of you, we saw it in the chat. We saw it in the incredibly well-developed questions that were asked in the Q&A today. You all are out there. And we all know that, yes, politics gets involved. Right?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
But
it's necessary evil. And so I think just as in like our national politics and even state, everything happens at the ground, right?
Yes.
Those grassroots efforts.
Yes.
So what if I were maybe talking to a hospital that I work for and my hospital may be griping because they can't fill positions? Stephanie Austin, what could maybe I say as an educator or as a fellow CST to that hospital in order to help them get me help and hire colleagues?
Maybe increase the starting pay.
What?
Wow.
Wait, but what Target right now is offering
$24. Target is offering $24 right now.
Right?
And like, they don't cut people open, believe it or not. they don't.
They offer a discount too.
Or honoring longevity.
Yes.
They always want to know why people don't stay. Well, you know, you give them 25-cent raise every year. That takes years to add up to any significant raise.
Yeah.
You know, honor that longevity with, you know, within your profession as a member, a vital member of the surgical team. You've got to make people feel like they are important, that what they are doing is important, and make them feel like they have a solid vested interest in what's happening in the facility, in the hospital.
I agree. We're seeing, obviously there are a whole lot of jobs out there and there are big bonuses and incentive packages for people to take the job. But why not take that money and also incentivize and reward the people who have been there for 5, 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another effort is to get involved with your state assembly.
Yes, definitely.
I think maybe there are some misconceptions about what that looks like.
Yes.
But, you know, you don't have to be on the board of directors. You don't have to be the secretary or treasurer or president. You don't have to run all of it. There are subcommittees. There's just being involved with conferences. As one particular individual said today during that webinar, it takes a village.
It does.
And we, I think state assemblies are constantly looking for more involvement from their members. Mm-hmm. And so that's another place to do that. If you don't know who's in charge of your state assembly, you can go to the AST website. You can go to AST.org. And you can find out you can click on your state assembly and it will tell you all of the contact information to be able to get involved and honestly email someone, ask them what you can do. They will gladly bring you on board and mentor you to be a part of that. That being said, those of you who are involved at a state assembly level and you want to be a part of the bigger picture, get involved on national. You can go to AST's website, fill out a consent to serve, and you can be put in contact with those, you know, standing committees. We have the three standing committees for AST. We have the State Assembly Leadership Committee, We have the Education and Professional Standards Committee, and then we have the Bylaws and Constitutions Committee. All three of those committees are doing good work, detailed work, lot of work, I will say. But it's all in to help each other.
Yes.
So that we can help have that big seat at the table. Stephanie, also, I get on this soapbox every single episode. So maybe they would like to hear from someone else who agrees. But I am constantly saying that we are AST and ARC. Shout out to every single person on both of those organizations. I will go to bat for Bill Tesh and Kevin Craycraft and Peggy Vernado and all of the incredible board members at AST, Kevin Frey, Wanda Folsom. Good grief. You guys are all and just amazing people who help us every day, even when you don't get the recognition.
Exactly.
I will also say that the incredible people at ARC, Christy Bailey Byers, our fearless leader, Ron Krizel, Aaron Monleroy, Crystal Warner, all of these incredible people at ARC, you know, you guys are fighting the good fight to help us as educators every day. And why not take both of these incredible organizations and how can we better work together?
Yes, because we have a huge need across this country.
Yeah, we do.
For educational facilities and surgical technology programs. And what better way to do that than to take these two great institutions that are already established and have all of these resources available,
yeah,
and work together to ensure that we can get these programs built,
yeah,
and going so that we don't have another
three programs in, yes, one state,
and we don't
and
have another
an apprenticeship
issue with an apprenticeship or some other, shall I say, creative way to try to increase the number of surgical technologists. But at the same time, these states need to realize, and these hospitals are going to have to realize, that with an associate's degree is going to require,
yeah,
the funding, and you're going to have to pay these people to do the job,
right,
that they are specialized,
yeah,
to do. They're not just brought in off the street to do it. They're specialized.
We're not monkeys.
We're not monkeys.
No.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Specifically trained.
It's winter and I haven't shaved that much. So, we may resemble monkeys.
There
right
may
now.
Or may not be 7 inches of snow on the ground right now in Tennessee.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yes.
That's all right. But the whole point is that it's going to be a group effort. It is going to take our village. And what an amazing village that we have, right?
Yes.
So, hey, on that note, I want to thank you, my amazing village, right?
Yes.
For joining me today.
Well, thank you for letting me join you.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll hear from Miss Austin more often as we continue on the podcast. Her journey is one I think that a lot of people would benefit from hearing. And so look for that. But our next episodes are coming out together, and those are student episodes.
Those are always fun.
They're the best. I love
they're
them.
They're fun.
So shout out to students everywhere and to those of you who are teaching them and to the amount of alcohol it takes.
Sometimes this is true.
Sometimes it's true. Yeah. Guys, thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining me.
Yes,
and we'll be right back to kind of summarize it all and give you a little peek at what's to come. All right, everyone. Once again, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to an episode of the Scrub Life podcast. I am so incredibly humbled every time I get the opportunity to create one of these episodes. And so thank you. Thank you for participating in helping me introduce the public to this incredible field of surgical technology. If you have ideas for future episodes, please feel free to contact me. You can always reach us at thescrublifepodcast@outlook.com. That's my email. Of course, we have social media pages like everyone else does. You can reach us at Facebook and Instagram at The Scrub Life Podcast. And then, of course, for show notes, references, access to any of our other episodes, and how to contact people that you might be interested in reaching out to for this particular episode, please go to our webpage. It's thescrublifepodcast.wordpress.com. Again, my name is Chris Blevins. I am so grateful for all of you out there. I'm very grateful to be able to serve you in this way. And stay tuned to our next episodes where it features student-driven episodes. We're going to release two at one time. And they are seniors who have done their capstone project at South College in Knoxville, Tennessee. I can't wait to hear their episodes and those of the future students at accredited educational programs throughout the country, because we desperately need them. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and here's to next time.